Hola.
Hello, this call is being translated.
Abuela, listen to what my phone can do.
Abuela, escucha lo que mi teléfono puede hacer.
Wow, ahora dime sobre tu novia nueva.
Wow, now tell me about this new girlfriend.
Huh?
Tú sabes lo que dije.
You know what I said.
Language is no longer a barrier, thanks to Live Translate with Galaxy AI on Samsung Galaxy S24 Ultra. Learn more at Samsung.com. Samsung account login required. Calls must be made using the native Samsung dialer.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is your typical radio ad while eating a Crunch Bar.
This is Automatic of Otto's Used Cars. This weekend only, we're having a whale! Bring the kids. See for yourself. It is huge. Gonna make a big splash. No other dealer can say they have a whale like this.
When things sound dull, turn up the fun with Crunch.
Yeah, yo, what do you want? Beak or jaws, feathers or fur, sharp teeth or feet with claws, whatever's preferred. They'll grant you all last requests to steady your nerves, then podcast the body parts get severed and served. Bring your weak shit where the wolf and owl are. That ain't just a mistake, that's an awful howler. Both of them are known to pull up at your shows, have the crowd witnessing a murder like they rolled in with a gang of crows. Fuck the censorship, let them see the whole thing. They stay dressed to kill, never sheep's clothing. Dark enough to turn the sun to the moon, you'll see nothing. All you hear is a huff a puff and a... Expect killings, red spilling and flesh ripping. Impressive in it, the death bringing his head spinning. Just kidding, every word in his song's about two grown men dressed up as a bird and a dog.
Welcome! Guess who's back inside the building? The wolf and the owl!
Yeah, boy. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, honey.
I've got to just make an admission. Hungover wolf today, boy.
Yeah.
Hang in today.
Now we get. Is this the first time we've had a hungover wolf on the pod?
I think so. I think early on we did, but I muddled through. I don't know whether I'm emotionally hungover or just like sort of stagnantly hungover.
And this is because you finished Red Knapp's big night out.
Yeah, the last.
You had a massive night out at the end of it.
It wasn't even actually a big night out afterwards. It was sort of, we had a few beers and I didn't eat anything really. That was a big thing.
I remember when we did Judge Ramesh, I don't think they'd even finish saying it's a wrap before you're out the fucking door and in your car. No, but you hung around for this one, did you?
No, we had a nice drink at the end of Gary, didn't we? we had a good drink at the end of Gary.
It was great. It was fun, wasn't it?
No, I think you had obviously scarped off and you'd...
No, I wasn't. You deliberately scheduled it, so I wasn't in on the last day.
I don't do the scheduling. It was just like a happy mistake.
Oh, sorry. You think, what, it's your production company. You wrote the thing. You're the star of it. You're an exec on it. You expect me to believe you didn't have some sort of hand in making sure I wasn't there for the last day.
We were suffering the budget after all you drank in Newcastle. And
you're
all
such all a tosser. You must have made a fucking saving on the room you booked me, you prick. I mean, that was going for a quarter of a price of everyone else's.
Oh, Romsky. Have you been, Jay?
Well, I've just come back from Centre Parks. A couple of things happened.
Mike, I live in the high life.
It is, you know what? It does feel like you live in the high life because that Trump place...
Centre Parks is quite expensive, isn't it?
It is so expensive, man. And also, like, my kids, they suddenly start discovering new things that they're into. That costs money. Like, for example, we played badminton twice over 3 days.
Wow.
Like my kids have never played badminton before in their lives. And I play.
Are you any good?
I'm all right. I'm okay. Do you know what I mean? Not great. I mean, but I used to play it when I was a kid. My mum and dad were obsessed with badminton. And we used to play quite a bit.
My dad's obsessed with it.
Really? What is it about badminton that it doesn't matter if you're shit at every other sport? I'm not, by the way, this is not a critique of badminton players. When badminton at its top level looks absolutely insane, right? But badminton at sort of beginner level, leisure centre level,
feels it's a very forgiving sport.
It is, isn't it? Yeah, it really is.
It's one of the only sports I think I've ever played where I feel, I felt, oh, actually, I've got the hang of this and I think I could probably play at an international level.
Okay. Do you mean you could play? I think what you're confusing play at an international level with play abroad. Like, if you're saying...
No, if I go to a holiday and I'm in a hotel, right?
Yeah.
And they have got a sweet badminton court there, I would take all comers.
So if you first of all, my absolute sympathies to Kat that she's on holiday with somebody that's got this in his locker. But so you'd see a badminton court and you do it like, you know, like people that are ballsy enough to go up to a pool table and just put some money down and.
Well, I put 50. No, what I'd probably do is I would lurk, not the whole day, but like sort of like every couple of hours, I'd sort of lurk about the badminton court, sort of seeing if anyone fancies a game. Or make friends, a couple of friends at the breakfast buffet and say to them, all right, how you doing? Have you seen a badminton court here and all that?
And they go, aren't you here with your wife?
Yeah, or maybe I'll just be a bit more subtle and just carry a badminton racket around with me.
Honestly, mate, I tell you what, it's a nice place here. Word of warning, swerve the big geezer with a badminton racket. You'll never fucking get rid of him.
Who was the best? Who won most games?
Well, actually, Lisa's got some skills, it turns out.
Really, this one?
Yeah, she's good. She's good. It's that thing of like, so I played with Theo, our eldest, for the first one. He just said, I fancy having a go at badminton. So just him and I had a go while the other two went off and did like this indoor rock climbing or whatever. Then all the family wanted to have a go. So it was all of us. It was me, Charlie and Alex on one side and Lisa and Theo on the other side. And it's that thing of where like you're balancing wanting your kids to have a go with you actually wanting to have a game of badminton. It's that sort of ongoing battle, isn't it? Where you sort of, at one point, I'm not proud of this, but I pretty much bundled Alex over to get to a shot.
Is any of your boys showing more sort of competence with sport than the others, or
they've got different like they seem to show competence in different things? Because I feel really lucky in that, you know, sometimes when you think about the Olympics and you watch an Olympic event that's like pretty niche, and you think to yourself, maybe there is a chance that I could have been fucking great at that. I just never had a go at it. Right, so. So now I'm in this amazing position of being able, you know, we're all in this amazing position of having this opportunity to try all these different sports. So like one of us, so Charlie's obviously having a go at football, but you find they've got different skills in like different stuff. So for example, Alex, it turns out, I know this is not a sport, he's like a fucking spider monkey on an indoor climb wall. I mean, it's insane. Oh, hold on a sec. Oh, there's somebody at the door. Hold on one sec.
Here we go. Can't show off he's popular. Or he's just a postman or something, I'd imagine. Guys, let me take this moment to say that Ramesh actually was quite sad the other day. He said to me that there hadn't been many pictures coming in to make him feel happy.
So, okay, I'm back and ignore that what he just said. We don't need any fucking pictures, all right? So anyway, so they're all showing different sort of abilities and different things. One of the things I have noticed, though, is I don't, as you know, Tom, I don't have a competitive bone in my body. Like, I just don't give a shit. And I don't know if, well, you do a little bit, I think. But, like, I'm much more competitive as a spectator than I am as a participant. Like, you know, I get so aggravated if Arsenal drop the ball. But when it actually comes to playing, I just don't. You know, like when we're doing league or whatever, and Jamie and Freddie, obviously being professional sportsmen, when they get so wound up about losing, I don't think our lack of ability frustrates them as much as our lack of giving a shit. Do you know what I mean? It's just that I just don't have it in me to care if I lose at something. Do you know what I mean? Which is incredibly frustrating. Yeah, go on.
So this week, I had this massively. Like, I saw it first. So last week, last Monday, we finished the show. And Jamie, in a very, very lovely gesture, says, like, do you want to come to the golf club he's a member of, right? Yeah. Me, we'll have a like game of golf tomorrow. Me, Harry, and a friend of Jamie's, Sweet Pete. And we go to this amazing golf club, which I would say now is maybe the best hotel that I've ever stayed. It's incredible, this place.
You stayed there?
Yeah, we stayed there. I woke up the next morning, Ron, at probably about 6:30, and the tension and nerves through my body was like I was playing an FA Cup final or a World Cup final, because I was partnered with Harry Redknapp, right? So we're playing a four ball. This guy Pete and Jamie versus me and Harry, right? Harry's like my one of my ultimate heroes. Like I do, you know, like me and you are very fortunate. We work with people that you go fucking hell. But I had a season ticket all the time. Harry was a manager at West Ham. Anyway, so we go down to sort of the clubhouse type thing, and in the clubhouse there's like Ryder Cup winners. There's professional sportsmen of all levels.
Yeah.
In the back of my head, the only thing I can think is like at best I'm below average at golf.
Mm.
I've been playing for 8 months and now I'm on, you know, I essentially feel, you know, like I've been picked for the England squad, having played one game.
You've been playing quite regularly though, haven't you? Because, you
know, really,
one of the good things about you on social media is that we're able to really keep tabs on what you're up to, because very rarely you engage in any activity without posting about it. So, you know, I would say I've seen you in an Insta story sort of at a golf club going, golf love, baby, or something like that. I reckon 2 to 3 times a week for the last few months.
No. Right? Two most.
Okay,
fine. So anyway, even that though, right. So how are you saying, how good are you? I said, well, in a scheme that maybe I'm, if I was working as a chef, right, the first thing you make is a cheese sandwich. You're not going to go move straight onto the souffles, right?
If I turned up at a chef's course, and they were saying, we're going to start with the basics. Number one, we're going to make a cheese sandwich. I would start having a look at the fucking credentials of that place.
Yeah, but cheese sandwich is the easiest thing to make, right?
Yeah. But I still don't need to be shown how to do it properly. Like omelette, I get. Scrambled eggs or something like that, I get. Okay, cheese sandwich. Right. I go, sorry, mate, what the fuck do you think you're dealing with here?
But, so say an omelette rather than souffle, right? Anyway, I actually play okay. I'm playing all right. I drive a couple of balls quite nicely and I'm playing all right. And every time I hit a really good shot, Harry is like, go on, Tommy, go on.
Have you preempted the Redknapps about your standard at this stage?
Yeah, they both knew that I was going to be shit. I mean, the worst bit was when before the game, everyone's like, oh, let's knock a few balls. Everyone hit a couple of balls. I mean, it's an incredible place to play. Genuinely, yeah. I was like, fucking... But I'm standing like 3 people down from a guy who's fucking a Ryder Cup captain. Like literally going and doing kick-ups next to Messi. Yeah. So I'm like, this is fucking insane. And my arse just went wrong. I was so tense.
Mm.
And then every time I hit a bad ball, Harry was just going... Like that, right? We had a joke with it, but I could see the competitive nature of sure. Harry versus Jamie,
yeah,
which is like, you know, father versus son, two incredible sportsmen.
It's not like that. That is what it is. They are father and son.
Well, two people going head to head, right? And the competitive nature, and I'm the person in the mix who's going to lose it for Harry,
right?
It was, yeah, it was.
How good, Sweet Pete?
Sweet Pete was better than me. He was good, Sweet Pete. Yeah, okay. He had a nice way about him, Sweet Pete. He was actually, he's like the general master of Skechers. So.
What do you mean?
Like he's
I didn't know Skechers had ranks.
You know, but he's like one of Skechers.
He's just
dogs.
Two above lieutenant at Skechers.
he's one of the main people at Skechers.
Right, okay.
I was the only one who wasn't wearing Skechers shoes, which actually, you know, maybe actually looked the coolest person out there.
Yeah
for once. But the only time I've ever looked better at Jamie.
Yeah, God.
But the competitive nature between them was incredible.
Right.
Yeah. And then I could sort of see afterwards when they were having a cup of tea and everyone was speaking about, like, you know, who'd won the game and who'd lost the game.
Yeah.
I could see sort of like people pointing over at me as the ultimate loser. But
but it was fun, though. You had a fun day.
Oh, it was a lovely, beautiful day. Mm. Beautiful, beautiful day. Mm. Let me tell you, it was maybe one of the best breakfast baps I've ever had.
Go on. What was in it?
Well, no, it's just a very nice bit of sausage.
Mm.
Some quite, just perfectly done bacon and a really nice runny fried egg. Mm. All in a really soft ketchup, of course.
I tell you what, you put ketchup on that, it won't embarrass itself.
Mate, ketchup, by the way, I need to actually clarify something. I have nothing to do with the success of tomato ketchup, but to my kin and to my brethren that have got in touch over the last week saying how much they love ketchup and... Man, I've been inundated, and I love you all from the bottom of my heart.
I mean, there's so much to unpack there in what you said. I've never heard so many inaccuracies just rammed, jam-packed so tightly. First of all, nobody suggested that you had a causal effect on the popularity of tomato ketchup. Okay, that's the first thing. Second thing, the people that are getting in touch with, not your kith or your kin, all right? They're just random people that listen to the podcast, right? And finally, okay, you weren't inundated. I imagine you received, what, 7 messages?
Probably, I know, double figures, probably 13 or 14. Mate, in a day.
What that suggests to me is it doesn't take a lot to inundate you, is what I would say.
Mate, it took me a while to get through the ball. Like,
sure,
yeah.
Sure. I had 2 things happen to me at Centre Park that I want to talk to you about. See what your take is on it. First of all, in the car on the way back, I was eating a cereal bar. And as I sort of chewed down on the cereal bar, I realised that the cereal bar had taken a portion of one of my teeth with it.
Oof.
And
wow.
So I basically broke a tooth on the way back. And
a cereal bar.
I'm going to be honest. I know. It's like, fucking, what am I, 91? But what I was really...
Do you know, just quickly, the saddest thing about that is that Lisa's going to have to go to, like, wherever you get your cereal bars from, like supermarket, and ask for softer cereal bars.
Have you tried just sort of, before he eats them, just putting in a bit of a warm milk just to soften them up a little bit? They're still
tasting. Have you got any cereal bars? Oh, I think we've got some trackers in...
No. It's been 15 years since we've been able to eat a tracker.
Go with his teeth.
Have you got any that are just loose in the packet that you can just pour into your mouth? That you don't have to break up yourself?
He can eat with his back teeth. His back teeth are very strong.
So anyway, I broke my tooth. I'm getting it sorted
Which
out.
Tooth? Which tooth? Which tooth?
Like back, like near the back on the right-hand side. Right. So I debated not telling Lisa about this, right, as it happened.
Why?
Because she's just so unsympathetic about stuff like that. She hasn't had a single filling, right?
I haven't had a single filling.
Right, so she sort of sees that as a massive kind of
thing to lord over. Takes care of her teeth, and yeah, and like, you know, I've seen Lisa's teeth; they're lovely. You know, I'm just saying. No, I'm not saying you don't take care of your teeth, but obviously Lisa's in the sort of like, you know, that's the one thing. Like, I'm not sticking up for Lisa here, but I will say on Lisa's behalf that you have to listen to her because she is definitely the one who knows most about teeth in your house
because she hasn't had a filling.
Yeah, because she takes care of them.
Yeah, but I'm talking to somebody who, what, in the time that I've known them, has broken one of their front teeth, what, 12, 13 times? I've been inundated with stories about you breaking your teeth.
No, I've broken it a number of times. I have broken teeth. Yeah. I haven't got any fillings.
Okay, fine. So I've both got fillings and have broken my teeth because my teeth are, I think I've got bad genetics. Is the truth of it?
But also, how hard? When you brush your teeth, how thoroughly do you brush them? Do you brush them twice?
Mate,
a day?
I go to town when I brush my teeth.
You need to get an electric toothbrush.
I've got an electric toothbrush and I've got a water pick.
Wow.
So you know, I'm not fucking about it, right?
No, but the swan. I think the swan cares about you, but I think sometimes you need tough love.
Do you know the swan's got like 4 toothbrushes?
What?
Yeah, she's got like a main toothbrush. She's got an electric toothbrush. Then she's got a little thin toothbrush that she does all the. Then she's got a final toothbrush for like a finishing. It's crazy.
Wow.
I know.
4 toothbrushes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Incredible.
I know. The other thing that she's back now. The swan's back. I better keep my fucking voice down. She's just done PT.
Yeah. Yeah, otherwise, you'll lose another tooth.
Yeah. Fucking hell. Get the old swan's wing straight in the mush. The other thing that happened is that Lisa is constantly telling me that I don't pay attention when I'm doing things, right? Constantly telling me that. I don't concentrate, I don't. Anyway, I came back from Centre Park yesterday and I unpacked my suitcase. And in that suitcase, I had brought back with me the fucking TV remote from the lodge.
What? You can get charged for that, mate. That's quite a serious crime within the...
First of all, don't make it out like I'm going to have a fucking mob hit on me, all right? I've accidentally brought the remote back from... I don't know how it happened. I've got no idea. I actually think one of the kids overheard Lisa saying that to me and has stuck it in there as a little sabotage.
Don't blame them. Don't. Please do not blame Charlie, Alex, or Thea. Please, I implore you not to. I my heart is just going out to the people. I just can't stop thinking about the people who are turning up at that lodge following you, and sort of someone whispers to them, oh, Ramesh Ranganathan and his family were staying here last time. And they're like, oh, wow, like that's very exciting. Sort of like really feeling like blessed that sort of they're in the same place that you stayed. And then they go to watch TV and they can't because you've taken...
Well, they can because those Centre Park lodges have got like seven TVs in them, haven't they? So they just
showing off.
No, but they have. They all have.
You lent back? Why you lent back and said that?
No, but they all have. They all have. They've got
what
like...
lodge did you have? Which lodge were you in? The Treehouse one?
No, I wasn't in the Treehouse. I'm not on that Treehouse flex, bro.
What were you in? Which one?
Hola.
Hello. This call is being translated.
Abuela, listen to what my phone can do.
Abuela, escucha lo que mi teléfono puede hacer.
Wow. Ahora dime sobre tu novia nueva.
Wow. Now tell me about this new girlfriend.
Huh?
Tú sabes lo que dije.
You know what I said.
Language is no longer a barrier, thanks to Live Translate with Galaxy AI on Samsung Galaxy S24 Ultra. Learn more at Samsung.com. Samsung account login required. Calls must be made using the native Samsung dialer.
This episode is brought to you by the Weather Channel. It's suggested that brands avoid using sound effects in podcast ads. And remember to speak in a chill tone. Well, here's a suggestion for everyday life. Tap into the Weather Channel app. It's loaded with insights that help you manage your allergies, breathe easy, and
use your outside voice.
What in the weather are you waiting for? Be a force of nature with the Weather Channel app.
At IKEA, your dream home is a blue bag away. No matter the size of your space or budget, we've got everything you need to turn your dreams into reality. And now with new lower prices on hundreds of our most popular products, bringing the dream home is even easier. Like the gray Strandom wing chair, was $369, now $299. And the IKEA Plus 365 9-piece cookware set was $129.99, now $89.99. And hundreds more. Shop new lower prices at ikea-usa.com today.
I don't know what it's called. Is it called an executive lodge or something?
Oof, nice.
But there's a TV in each room. Each of those TVs has got a remote.
Yeah, right?
And then there's a living room, and that TV's got a remote as well.
Yeah, but so then which one did you take?
The one from our bedroom. It'd be incredible if I took the one from our living room. It'd be like willful.
Did you chill out on the lazy river at all?
Yeah, that's another thing actually I wanted to talk about is my anxiety before going to the water bit was just unreal. We went on Sunday, and the whole I don't want the kids to know that their dad is like riddled with these kind of issues.
So I just
pretend I'm chilled out about it. But I don't know if there's anything more sort of horrifying than being recognised when you're in swim shorts. I mean, it's just...
Especially if someone asks for a picture.
It's just absolutely disgusting, isn't it? I've got to say, I don't mind, and actually I like, you know, if people ask for a picture, it's absolutely delightful. Although I have been on occasion, when I've been a couple of times at Centre Park, once when I was in Portugal at this water park, somebody come up to me and going, can
is
I get...
when you went to Philip Schofield?
First of all, I never went to a water park at Philip Schofield.
I'd love the idea of you and Philip Schofield just legging it around. Yeah.
Me and Phil are heading off to the Twister. See you in a bit. And actually, I've never been to Portugal with Philip Schofield. This is because there's a photo that went... One photo that went up where we went to this outdoor cinema thing. And you fucking held it over me ever since.
No, because I missed out my day from seeing you myself. And then as soon as you got out there, you were just sort of networking with your crowd. Lisa said to me, it was like... You went on holiday with Phil Schofield and Stephen Mulhern.
Oh God! Anyway, when I was recognised at a water park in Portugal, and the guy said, "Can I have a photo?" I just went, "Come on, mate, look at me."
You didn't say that, did you?
I did say, "Come on, mate, look at me." I said, "I'll go grab a t-shirt." I did actually go and grab a t-shirt and stick it on. There's no fucking way.
Yeah.
I could, mate. Can you imagine that? Yeah. And he just, I don't know. I don't even want to
think.
Was
he all right by it?
About me getting rid of the T-shirt?
Yeah.
Well, I think if I'd have said, look, mate, come on, I don't want to do this like this, and just walked off, I think he would have been a bit knocked. But I did offer. I basically did give him the photo. But I just hate that. But actually, to be fair, you know, it was actually as it is always the case with these things, it was better than I thought it was going to be. You know, like the kids loved it, and I didn't feel like people. There's an arrogance to it. There's a slight arrogance to it, to going into one of these places and being really worried about it, because essentially what you're thinking is everybody's going to be looking at me.
Yeah,
that's kind of partly where that comes from. But people generally don't give a shit. They've got their own hang-ups to deal with. Do you know what I mean? They've got their own they've got their own body concerns to worry about. They're not staring out at you. Do you know what I mean? So yeah. Anyway.
I like it. Did they still have the cut? Which one did you go to?
Woburn.
Do they still have the ice bath there that you can jump into?
No. Well, I didn't know about any ice bath.
Yeah.
I tell you what I did do for the first time, though. An escape room.
Oh, was it any good?
Mate.
Really?
So sick. Yeah, I did not expect. Listen, I imagine it depends on who you go with, because what I wouldn't want to do is go with an expert or somebody who considered himself an escape room specialist.
So you're saying you don't want to go with me?
Do you think you'd be good at that sort of thing? Because
let me tell you something. Go back, look at all these crystal mazes for Stand Up to Cancer. I was a part of the team that got the most gold tickets.
Okay, but I mean that doesn't. I don't understand why that means that you'd be good at escape rooms.
Yeah, because crystal maze is the birthplace of all escape rooms.
Did you go into any of the rooms?
Yeah, I had two rooms that absolutely nailed.
I can't tell if you're being honest.
No, true, man. True say. And when it came to sort of like talking about leadership, they were like, actually, you know, it was me, Ellie Simmons, Molly King, and Ollie, is it Ollie Locke from Made in Chelsea?
Right.
Yeah.
So there's four of you.
I think it was one other person, but I can't remember who that was.
Okay. Well that's a shame.
That was a good few years ago.
It's a shame, isn't it? For all of the complaining you've done about people making you feel like shit when you go onto these shows,
right?
You can't even fucking bother to remember the names of the other people you're on with.
Let me just have a look at here quickly. I've never Googled anything on this before. So, and it was Nicola Adams, the boxer.
Oh, okay.
Very strong team.
Very strong.
Very strong.
Yeah. So, in all seriousness, how many times did you do it? Once? You did it once?
Yeah, I did it once.
Was it fun?
Stand-up. I did it for Stand Up to Cancer. It was, I did actually enjoy it. It was a kind of buzz, because did you used to watch it as a kid, Crystal Maze?
Yeah, of course I did, yeah.
Yeah, I was upset. I really liked it.
Are you genuinely telling me that you would be, you think you'd be good in an escape room?
I would say that, like, to might catch up on any kind of play, I wouldn't embarrass myself. I think me and you together would be, you know what we could do is
podcast escape room.
Yeah. I tell you what, mate, the
why
really
are we interesting... Why don't we Insta Live? Why don't you and I, because everything's opening up now, you and I go and do an escape room and we'll Insta Live the thing.
Look,
we can't. I don't think we can.
Why?
Because it will give it away then, won't it? But don't we ruin that escape room for...
But also, it's like, to what end? Like, people... People, I think, would still get a buzz out of going just saying, oh, we did it quicker. Because it's not about solving it, it's about how quick you can solve it.
If there are any escape rooms that would be willing to have me and Tom...
And, like, throw it out, maybe your cousin or a friend or someone you know down a pub has got an escape room or...
No. I don't want to get fucking just locked in some incel shed. Right?
No, what we need to do is make sure this goes far and wide.
Just go down
to your local escape room. Just say, look, I don't know if you've heard the Wolf and Owl podcast. They're interested in just, look,
Is it possible for us to Insta Live an escape from your escape room?
Yeah,
and it has to be an official escape room that I can Google. I don't want you just fucking just go. I've done my living room up like one or whatever.
Or throwing it out to my kith and my kin and my brethren. You have done a escape room that you thought was especially hard. Maybe it's the hardest one you've ever been in.
I don't think we're ready for a really difficult escape room, mate.
If I'm going into the world of escape rooms, I need to go to the top end. I can't, because honestly, that's how I roll.
Why don't we just try an easier one to start off with and see how we feel, okay? Because what I suspect will happen, if we follow your plan, is it just be you and I frustrated in a room for an hour.
Till someone lets us out. But also, you know, because they get different ones, don't they? I'm actually really excited about this. Genuine.
Mate, I thought I wasn't going to like it. I did it because of the kids, and
who's the best at it?
You know what? I'm going to tell you this. Like the first Avengers film, everybody had their moment. There was a time when Charlie shone. There's a bit where Charlie identified something and I dismissed it foolishly because he's six.
Wow.
I just went, Charlie, it's not going to be that. And it was exactly what he said it was. So.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, yeah. He was pretty gracious about it, to be fair to him. But it was...
Was he?
Yeah, but there's a bit of egg on my face. The other two really did let rip about it.
What about Lisa? Was Lisa there?
Yeah, Lisa was there, yeah, physically.
She but, good? You
know, was she? No, she was good. She was actually good. She was good.
I think Lisa would be one of the top sort of 5-10 people I'd have if I was in the skate room. She always seems like pretty mannered with stuff. And now I know with you that you're going to poo-poo ideas because you think you know best, but I'll follow through with them. You got that kind of custer vibe about you.
There's one bit that made me think of you, actually, because he goes like, that he goes, just so you know, you know, you're exploring all around the room and you're searching the room, but you only need two fingers of force. I don't know what two fingers of force actually means, but you only need two fingers of force on anything. So don't force it. I just imagine that's for people like you. If I could walk into an escape room, just tear everything off the fucking wall, plaster coming off, chair furniture Mate. Broken because you think something's concealed inside the seat of a chair or whatever.
How detailed do they go, these things?
Mate, it's mad. I don't want to give it away for anybody who visits Centre Parks Woburn, but like some of the puzzles, I was like, this is actually really impressive how they've done this.
Wow. Did you write a review about it?
No. Why would I fucking do that? I've got a family and a life I want to enjoy.
No, but it's like a little book or online thing about Centre Parks. I always think it's good to write a little review and say that while you're here.
Do you know what? Those reviews are just... What the fuck?
I always write them.
It doesn't change my opinion on them.
No, but I would put like an hour aside on the sort of like day you're going home to sort of like write.
Put an hour
reviews.
Aside.
Yeah, just sort of like as a
just
guy.
Just Catherine going, Tom, should we start packing? Just another half an hour, my dear. I'm just filling out my trip memoirs.
No, but I think for other people, like-minded souls who turn up there, because like, look, basically, you've just said yourself, you fooled yourself here because you're like, oh, the escape room was amazing, but I didn't think it was going to be.
Yeah, so what?
But so how many millions of people are going to Centre Parks at Woburn and going, oh, the escape room's not for me? Then they read this plucky little message from someone who's had the time of their life there, and they're like, actually, you know what, I'm going to give that a try.
Yeah, but I did think it wasn't for me, but I did give it a try anyway. So what's your point?
Oh, well, okay. What about Mark or Kevin or Lucius who turn up and they're like,
was that
oh,
your
I'm
attempt?
Go
did you go Mark and Kevin and then go, I need to think of an ethnic name here, and you come up with Lucius?
No, that was just three people's names I thought of on the top of my head, right? And those guys, you know, Sandra, Melika, Saffron, they're like, these people, right? They're not...
I'll tell you one thing, those people are not going to hang out together. I can tell you that for
now. No, these are all different people from different walks of life who stumble into Centre Parks and question whether to go into the escape room there at Woburn. And all it takes is people just to stand up and go, no, actually, I had the time of my life in there. That's in my top five memories of like holidays, you know, and they put that in. And then people go in and go, oh, it was actually really, really special. Thank you.
Well, look, you know, I sort of feel like I've recommended it on the podcast, so, you know. Yeah, also, the other thing is a pancake house. So
what? They've got one at Woburn.
They've got one at Woburn. It does. They've got vegan pancakes there.
Wow!
I had the banoffee. Oh my God! The pancake—it tastes like a banana fritter, just in and amongst the pancake. It was fucking unbelievable, mate.
Be honest. Oh, how many times did you go there?
Well, only once. Only once.
What, really? I'm back. If food's good, but I'm at a place that's set apart, so I'll go at least
four
times.
Yeah, but I can't, you know, I can't be, we can't, we've got the kids, man. If it was just me and Lisa, I definitely would have convinced her to go back. But you can't, I don't want the kids to start thinking that's normal, to fucking get a pancake house seven times across a 3-day fucking break.
Oh, God.
So what do you reckon? Do you reckon we're going to end up doing these together now?
Right,
or keep them on Zoom? Yeah. What do you think?
I enjoy them on Zoom, but I like them together. I think we can mix it up.
The problem is if we commit to doing them in the same room, we won't be able to do them twice a week because there's no fun.
No.
We live what? How far away from me do you live now?
I live 137 miles from you.
Is that true? Hold on. Let me do.
If we let me put it, 140 miles.
Holy shit! How come you did 137 off the top of your head like that?
Because I'm good at, mate. That's my gift. That is my gift.
What sort of guessing to within 3 miles of how far someone's away from you?
Yeah. If I was in the armed forces or if I was in like sort of like the olden days, that would be like I'd be like that sort of, yeah. People come to me and go, oh yeah, we've got to get there here. Well, I've got to travel to Crawley.
Yeah. Tom, we need you now because all the maps have been destroyed. All the GPS has disappeared. So now finally, we've managed to find a fucking very specific set of circumstances in which you're not fucking useless. So can you tell us roughly to the nearest mile how far this location? Don't worry about direction. We'll figure that out. We'll send different people to move in all the different directions for the distance that you tell us now.
Mate, it's a hell of a fucking thing, though. Okay. I mean, you didn't think it was that. I think sometimes you underestimate how big England actually is.
When have I ever given you reason to think that I've underestimated the size of England?
No, like there when I said like 137 miles, you were like, oh, you looked like you thought I was crazy.
No, I didn't. No, it's not that. It's just I looked because I was like, you didn't even hesitate.
Yeah,
like you hesitate before you use any word that's longer than two syllables. Like, 100. But 137 miles, he just pulled out straight away. Okay, time for some emails.
Hit me up, baby.
To the Wolf Owl and, of course, the good lady Swan. This is... Oh, anonymous. More of a discussion piece, if anything, but I'm currently in an amazing relationship with the girl of my dreams. We do everything together. My world has become so much happier with her in it. However, every now and again, I get reminded of love I once had throughout my uni years, 10 years ago, when I'm still not sure to this day whether it was reciprocated, but we enjoyed each other's company immensely and occasionally still hang out whenever we can. The problem is I've never been able to completely let my feelings go. I would never act on my feelings towards her due to us being in such strong relationships currently. I often wonder whether she is the one that got away or I was just in love with the moment. My question to you is, am I in the wrong for having her in my thoughts fairly often? And if so, do you have any advice on how I can let her go? Big shout to you, sweet, sweet souls, for being in the world, your friendship, through this podcast. Keep up the good work. Peace and love. Tom Davis.
I think the truth of the matter is often these people that we're talking about here in this scenario is quite often it is just a moment or a time in your life rather than the actual person that you're trying to rekindle. So usually it's, you know, someone, you know, you're a bit younger and you sort of you're holding on to that sort of that vibe. I personally think I think it can be quite a distracting thing as well and quite a sort of quite a negative thing to think too much about the past and people in the past in that sense. I think it's sort of it's difficult just to get rid of that. But I do think it's I don't know how would you get rid of sort of thinking about someone like that?
Well,
it's difficult. I look at it and think there's people that, you know, you might cross your mind every now and again and you think, I wonder what they're up to or whatever. But I don't think you can ever get obsessed with that. And I do think it's more the time than the person itself.
I've got to be honest with you, but part of me thinks, and this is a bit of a weird theory, but part of me thinks that there is part of your psyche that is always looking for what is wrong in the situation that you're in. It's like a part of you that's looking for to find a flaw or to find what might make you unhappy, even if you're in a happy situation. And you're in a happy relationship and your mind is going, what could possibly be wrong with this? What, you know, your neurotic, your human side, the human nature that wants you to kind of pick at it and sort of undermine it is going, oh, what about that relationship I had when I was at uni? What if that was better than the one I'm having now? Or what if something had happened with that person? And that is That is just human nature. And I really think the reason that you're thinking about it so much is because you're worried about thinking about it so much. You're trying to block it out. And you think if you think about this thing, it's like if I go to you, don't think about a pink elephant. Automatically, you think about that thing. You can't block your mind from thinking these things. Do you know what I mean? Like, you've got to accept that you will have those thoughts. And actually, those thoughts mean nothing. That's not you. That's just something that's popping into your head. That's just something that you're not the same as your mind's eye. You're different to that. Do you know what I mean? You're separate to that. So even if you are thinking about it, who gives a shit? You're happy in your relationship. You're enjoying your relationship. You're looking back with rose-tinted glasses every now and again at this past relationship because your mind is looking for some reason why. You've got to remember, like, commitment is a difficult thing. It's a nerve-wracking thing. And if you're thinking about potentially, I don't know, spending the rest of your life with that person, you will inevitably start thinking, what if that's a mistake? You know, part of your brain goes, is this definitely the right thing to do? It's why people get nervous on the day of their wedding, because they're thinking, fuck, is this the right thing? Is this the 100% the right thing? And so what I would say to you is, look, my advice is to stop punishing yourself so much for it, man. I wouldn't get upset. It doesn't mean that you're betraying your other half, but also you don't have to put a block on it. You don't have to feel guilty every time that thought pops into your head. Every time that thought pops into your head, all you've got to think to yourself is, that's not the relationship I'm in. I'm romanticising some time from my past and I'm happy in the relationship that I'm in now. And job's a good one. Do you know what I mean? I really think you don't need to worry about it as much as you are.
Exactly what Rom said, if I'm honest with you. That was absolutely sweet, sweet advice from the Romski. Like, that was maybe up there with the best advice I've ever had you give.
You said that the last three times I've given advice, by the way.
No, I haven't. But that was very silky smooth. It was nice. It was nice, yeah. Boy. And good, I think, luck. We can all listen to that.
Yeah, listen. And, all, and you know, above all, do you.
Yeah, wow. Using my limerick at the end.
Okay. Next is another anonymous.
Wow, the Swan really loving the anonymous at the moment.
Yeah, this is quite a long one, so
okay, let me settle back.
Okay, dear trio,
a long email, but can't be bothered to spell all that.
Yeah. It's gone into a lot of detail about the situation, but can't be asked to separate us as people. Anyway, dear trio, I'm a borderline adequate looking mid-30s man with an amazing wife that I met online 5 years ago. 3 years and a baby later, we decided to move back to our home village to benefit from being closer to extended family and, most importantly, leave the chaos of city life and offer our toddler a better environment to grow up in. During our get-to-know-each-other phase, we had the usual chats about our respective past, and she didn't want to dwell on hers as she admitted to having a wild one. And although she's not ashamed of her life back then, she isn't proud of it. The past is the past and that's where it belongs, she said, and I've been comfortable with that since she said it. However, things have changed significantly since our toddler is now at nursery attached to the one village school. I'm not known by name, but as Sophie's husband, as I'm generally the only black person in the village, and we have a stunning mixed-race daughter. Having lived in the city all my life, I wasn't used to the level of celebrity not being white-generated, but it's all on the positive end of the spectrum, so there are no complaints. How wrong I was. Being black wasn't my USP. This wasn't the reason why people smiled at me at the school gates. I've since found out that my wife had sex with 9 of the parents, men and women, at the school that our child will continue to attend for the next 7 years. There are only 40 kids in the entire school. I'm not a jealous person, but this bombshell hit me hard. I'll admit to having difficulty taking our daughter to school, knowing that the joking nudges at the school gates are at my expense. Only last week, one of the parents asked if my wife had calmed down or if she's still a goer. And it took my overwhelming love for my daughter and desire not to be killed by the local constabulary to not kick this guy's face in right there. But I left in a mood. It has unfortunately spilled into the relationship with my wife. The benefits she sold of living in a small, tight-knit community is being hideously outweighed with the fact that my wife has a greater physical knowledge of the parents at school than the local GP. I have no one to talk this over with, as the only people I know here are friends and family. I can't talk to my family as they're still hurt with my decision to leave in the first place and would roll out the I told you so rhetoric. I would really appreciate some advice on how to deal with the situation on the school run and how to approach the conversation with my wife as he shuts it down quicker than a lockdown rave.
It's only a kick. A jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
No matter what you're looking for in a non-alcoholic beer, there's only one name that has it all. Athletic Brewing Co. Full flavor? It's athletic. Huge variety? It's athletic. Award-winning styles you can get online, at the bar, or the grocery store? It's athletic. In fact, when it comes to amazing non-alcoholic beer, there's no question. It's athletic. Ask for it and find out. Go to askforathletic.com to find your closest retailer today. Near beer.
As a plant-based cheese company, Daiya has never talked about beef in an ad before, because someone somewhere once had a beef with saying beef and plant-based together. So putting a slice of Daiya cheese on a beef burger, not okay. Well, our delicious melty cheese has a beef with your beef about beef, because any step towards plant-forward eating is a step in the right direction. Daiya, 100% plant-based, even if you're not. Now made with Daiya Oat Cream Blend.
I understand that the past is the past, but not when it directly impacts on the present situation. Please call me out if I'm being a dick, if that's your opinion. Keep up the excellent work, and listening to your podcast is the closest thing to chatting with mates for an hour, like my good old days. Thanks, and stay safe. Anonymous.
Wow, man. This is a top vault conundrum, my friend. Look, if I'm going to be honest, I think that it's a very, very difficult position that you found yourself in. Number one, I think it's fucking immature and pathetic and slightly a fucking, and this is nothing against your wife, that gentleman walked up to you and said such a thing, because I think
that guy's a fucking prick.
Scandalous. I think so. I think you have to rule the fact out that he spoke like that, because every one of us has a past, and I think the fact of the matter is, you know, as an adult, I think the one thing is you separate, you know, someone who's grown up and whatever people, you know, are going through, or, you know, whatever situation they found themselves in, you have to kind of fucking let that be. Do you know what I mean? Because you've not married and you've not had a child with the late teenage, early 20s version of your wife. You've done that with someone you've met who has gone through all that and become a solid person, someone that you've chosen to start a family with, and someone that you have given a lot and given up a lot for. And I think that there's clearly a very, very amazing, solid relationship that you have there. I think that the big trouble is I live in a small town, but I live in a slightly smaller town. I think the thing I noticed when I moved here was sort of how many people sort of seem to know sort of like, you know, what you're doing on a daily thing, or that there'll be more interest in your life. It was sort of moving from London, I found that absolutely fucking mind-boggling, how, you know, where you can sort of walk around and no one really sort of gives a shit who you are, and all of a sudden everyone's got a bit of a story, and you know, it's a very, very sort of small hub and a small community. So I think there's a sort of side of it where that level of gossip and that level of like intrusiveness is just the nature of living in a small place like that. And I think it is for you to now sit with your wife, I think, and you have to have that conversation with her, whether she tries to shut it down or whatever she does. But it's going to be a big deal for you, like, you know, moving forward, you know, with your daughter. I also think it's worth, I don't know how you go about this, but I think if people say some stuff to you like that, you kind of have to know the facts, I guess, from your wife, but then you have to be able to shut them down. And because it's not fair. It's not, you know, it's not fair on you, but also it's not fair on your wife to be talked about in such a way, and the mother of your daughter to be talked about in such a way. I genuinely find that I find that pretty scandalous, and I feel it quite upsetting that adults talk like that. I know they do, because, you know, most of them haven't got anything else more interesting to talk about in their lives than other people. But I do think, man, I think it's up to you to sort of, you know, take this by the bull by the horns, speak to your wife. And I think if anyone says that, I think it's, you know, try and keep your cool. But I think if someone steps to you and sort of says something like that to your wife, I think you're well within your rights to tell them to shut up and not speak to you again.
Yeah.
If I'm going to be completely honest, I think that's disgusting behaviour from that guy.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think, like, that guy's an absolute prick. I think you've got a bit of a perfect storm of a situation here in a negative way, in terms of your wife has had the past that she's had, and that is within a small village. And there are people that have pasts like that that it's not even spoken about because they grew up in bigger areas, do you know what I mean, or bigger cities or towns or whatever. So you're just you're in an unfortunate situation there. There's a couple of things to say about this. First of all, the reason that everyone's talking about it is because you guys have just come back or she's just come back. And this is like one of seven things that might have happened that year. Do you know what I mean? In terms of things to talk about. And so that's the reason why everyone's going on about it. But the truth of it is that people will stop talking about it. You know, they will stop talking about it. And I'm not trying to make this about me, but like when our kids first started school, I remember like getting attention or whatever because of having a telly profile. But now people just don't give a shit. Do you know what I mean? People just get used to that. And the reason I mention that is because people will just get used to this. It will stop being a thing, an interesting thing for people to talk about. Even if it wasn't, the fact of the matter is, mate, is that your wife's past has nothing to do with you. And I don't mean that in a negative way. What I mean is this all happened before she knew you. She's chosen to be with you. You've got a beautiful daughter. None of that shit matters, man. None of that shit matters at all. Whether the fact that it bothers you, though, is a problem. And I would say, like, as Tom said, talking about it to your wife, I think the bigger problem is not what her past is, but the fact that she just sort of feels reluctant to talk about it with you. Because the truth is like it doesn't matter. It has no bearing on your present or your future unless you allow it to. And, you know, you're currently allowing it to because she's been cagey about talking about it. And your fear of what it is probably making you build it up to more than it is in your head. So I think that's something you've got to kind of come to terms with. The other thing that you've got to work out is whether this is such a negative thing for you that you don't want to live there. And look, I know that's an extreme thing to say, but you've either got to make peace with this or you guys have got to think about moving. Because at the moment, just based on what you've said in this email, it doesn't feel like you're very happy with the situation as it is. Now, that might be temporary, and it might be once you have a chat with your wife and once you've kind of, the village has got over the excitement of having you guys there, that'll pass and you can get on with like living a normal life. Or that's a longer term problem and you guys have got to think about maybe changing your circumstances to make that better. That's up to you guys to sort out, but it needs talking about, you know. And I think if you bury it, it's just going to get worse and worse, and then that's going to start turning into resentment, and then there's no coming back from that, really.
I think as well it's worth saying on another note, not talking about your because obviously, you know, the whole thing with your wife and all that, and which is, as Ron says, it's a perfect storm of a bad situation. But I also think, you know, while you're focusing on that, I think your attention should also be focusing on a bit of resolution with your own family, you know, to reach out to them. Because it makes me quite sad hearing that you haven't got that support network where you are. And, you know, you need that as a human being. You need to have people, you know. I think when you move away, like I said, you know, when you work with where you can come ever so reliant on just one person, and that will change the dynamic of your relationship, even outside just the just what else is going on at the school gates, because all of a sudden she's the only person you've got around, so you're probably overcompensating certain levels of sort of like attachment there. And I think you need to make sure you focus on getting together with friends, talking to your friends, talking to your family.
Yeah, and also the other thing I do want to say, like, if your wife doesn't want to talk about her past, you know, we don't have a right to demand that we know everything from our half's past. I mean, it's like that is personal to her. And, you know, although I said her not talking about it has probably blown up in your head, if she doesn't ever want to talk about it, that is also okay. Do you know what I mean? Look, the truth is it's quite a complicated situation, but as is the case with all of these things, talking about it will make things better. You know, you need to take some sort of action, and sitting on it and not discussing it and letting it fester is only going to cause further problems, in my opinion and the wolf's opinion. Good luck, mate. Please keep in touch and let us know how it goes. Okay. How do you think we handled that? That felt quite a tricky one.
That was a tough one. I hope he's okay. I send him love and I send him faith.
Okay, so this is from Damon, and he's given himself an animal name here, aka the croc. Dear Wolf, Owl and Swan, brackets, no need to keep anon. You may remember a couple of weeks back, you answered my question regarding the future of the Wolf and Owl pod. So first of all, I'd like to say thanks to the Swan for choosing my question for the bonus episode that week. I thought I'd try my luck again, but this time, so first of all, we can see what's happened here. He's given a little bit of thanks to the Swan, and she's picked him out a second fucking time.
Yeah.
I thought I'd try my luck again, but this time something a little more personal, as I'm always fascinated and enjoy listening to your heartfelt and honest advice. My wife often makes comments to me about not showing her any affection in regards to hugs, telling her I love her, etc. We can often follow up asking if I'm getting bored of her. Now, she couldn't be any more wrong. We've just been together for 14 years, married for almost 8, and have 3 children. Inside, I couldn't be happier. She's my world. It's just a shame I don't know how to show it on the outside. Don't get me wrong, this isn't all the time, but it does crop up more than anything else. I'll be the first to hold my hands up and agree with her, to be honest, but that's just the way I am. I'm pretty sure I always have been. To me, I've never been an affectionate guy. I'm not one for sharing my feelings, and I think I'd find it hard now to change after all this time. I hate her feeling this way, so I was wondering if you guys... have ever had any similar situations or have any advice on this matter on how I can try and stop her feeling this way. P.S. It's my 36th birthday on Sunday, as well as our wedding anniversary on the same day, so it'd be great to get a message off the wall for now. Keep up the good work. Love the croc. Happy birthday and happy anniversary from both of us.
Happy birthday, croc dog. I think that actually your scenario here is a lot more common in men of a certain age than you'd ever think. I think sometimes we take for granted that the women that we're with, or the men that we're with or whatever, just know how we feel about them. We sort of, I think, get to a point where we don't think we have to sort of show them, and we have to sort of do that. I've been in scenarios where I'll tell people how much I adore my wife, I love my wife and all that, and then I realize she will say to me, "Oh, you haven't actually said that to me." And I think, oh, fucking hell, I haven't, because I just take it for granted that she knows how I feel about her. So I've been in a position where I sort of check myself more and more now to make sure that I convey that across to her and sort of how I feel, you know. But I think it's more common than you'd think. I think, I mean, I don't know about you, Rom. I mean, you've been with Lisa a little bit longer. I've been with Catherine. Do you ever have that at all? Or?
I mean, that bitch hasn't touched me for 5 years. No, I'm joking. I totally agree with you. I think that it's very easy to fall into... it's funny that, isn't it? Because people assume that when you've been together a long time, that you're not in love anymore. Or they sort of think, you know, there's loads of jokes. You know, it's an old comedy, stand-up comedian's trope about, oh, my God, I've been with this woman for 10 years and I'm done with her, whatever. You know, you're in love with your other half, but you just basically fall into sort of... the habits of, you're comfortable with each other, you don't feel the need to do any sort of showy affection, and so you just don't do any affection. But the truth of it is, look at the wording of what you said. I love her so much, right? I couldn't be happier. She's my world, mate. I'll be honest with you, man, I just think you've got to show her a bit of affection. It's not that, you know, like, if that's what she really wants and she's your world, I think you just got to make that a conscious thing that you do. Do you know what I mean? It's like, I actually think if you give her a few hugs, tell her you love her, that the difference in her self-esteem will be massive. And actually, I think you'll notice a positive effect in your relationship, man. I really, really do.
Hey, okay, Buster, go and do it now. Don't write emails to guys that you're infatuated with. Go and tell your wife you love her.
Yeah, go and give her a hug. Go on, Croc.
I want to shout out now to everyone who's listening to this podcast right now. In my hungover state, the first thing I'm going to do when I finish this is I'm going to go and tell my goddamn wife I love her. And if you're listening to this, go and do the same. You deserve it.
Oh, you hungover arsehole. Okay, it's time for the last email of the ting before I go off and do my first personal training session in a while.
I can't wait to see you.
This is from Anon. To the wolf, the owl, and the swan. And this is somebody who messaged us a while ago, Tom.
Right.
So this isn't really about advice. This is just an email to read out before you close out the show for us. To the wolf, the owl, and the swan. Well, what can I say? You boys gave me a beam of light in the darkness at a very low point in my life. I've taken on the advice from Tom about being a better friend to myself, and I'm trying not to think about the friends I've lost and more the friends I might make in the future. And I look forward to maybe contacting some of the people that contacted the podcast. And Rob, thank you so much for saying that I'm doing a good job. I've never been told that before. That really meant a lot and it made me think positively. The fact that you lot read my email and responded means more than you'll ever know. The fact I'm ending my 3-point turn in that cul-de-sac and I'm starting to look to the future. Things are shit, but they can get better, and I was starting to forget that. I'm humbled that people have reached out to the podcast. That stuff brings tears to my eyes. It's nice to know that people care, and that's what it's about at the end of the day. A little bit of love and care goes a long way. Thank you so much, Tom, Rom and Lisa, from the bottom of my heart. And he's given me some reggae recommendations because I talked about reggae the other day. What a lovely... Isn't that nice?
I'm not going to lie, Rom. I just about held it together through that. Very sweet. Very, well, you know, I think we all know who it's from. So, and the dilemma. And I, you know what, of everyone... I had people message me on Instagram sort of saying, oh, to sort of send, like, you know, his info over or whatever. And yeah. Well, Rom... I guess that's it, brother.
Yeah.
Email's thank you for completed.
Yeah. We're done here. Okay, Tom, can you please... well, actually, before we do that, can we just say thank you so much for emailing back in. And Lisa has been passing on stuff. So the Swan has been doing her duty in terms of passing on contact details to this guy. So good luck, man. Keep in touch.
Big shout out to the Swan.
Yeah, big shout out to the Swan. I love you, Swan, with all of my heart. I'm going to give you the hugging of your lifetime when I finish recording this, although you're out, who knows with, who with. Anyway.
Well, you'll get back from PT, you'll be sweaty and manly.
Oh, I'll be all sweaty and fucking pheromones coming out of the anus. Okay. Oof. I don't know why I said that. Tom, take us out, please.
And they patrolled the woods. The wolf prowling, slow and steady, cool and calculated. The owl squawking upon his back. Looking for those in need. Looking for those who'd fallen. Some from great heights, or some who'd just tripped. At one point, they came across a deer. It had a terrible time of it, and they helped him out, and they gave him some suggestions, and he actually went about his life, and shit got better. And then they found a lonely squirrel, a grey squirrel, in a sea of orange squirrels. And for a while, they spoke to him, and the owl flew off and found some worms, and they fed it to him. And the grey squirrel became friends with the orange squirrels. And then he had sex with an orange squirrel, and they had a grey and orange squirrel baby. So, you know, his life got better. And they continued to walk around the woods, helping animal upon animal, you know, ducks and... foxes and badgers and such. And one day the wolf made a great fire, and they sat together, both smoking cigars as the fire licked their feet or claws. And the owl said, "We've made so many other animals happy, haven't we?" And the wolf said, "Yes. But you know what? The internal happiness is the one that we've made ourselves. Good night, dear friend." And they both went to sleep, knowing that happiness was their dreams.
Okay. There's a couple of things there. One, when you sort of do these, I do try and picture them in my mind's eye. It's very difficult to know how animal-like and how human-like we are, because you do mix it up in terms of the things that we're able to do. We're able to start a fire and light cigars. Also wandering around the woods, sort of helping other animals. And then the other thing is you really have bigged up our contribution to sort of general life, haven't you?
Yes.
I mean, us walking around sort of improving all of the other animals' lives.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
I think you might have, I think that last email might have dropped the Kool-Aid off the back of that one.
If I'm honest with you, that last email was very hard to come off the back of and do anything but like a really big switch. And also you've got to remember, like, my head is in quite a hungover state, so it is sort of, I feel very melancholy at the moment. Yeah.
Hold on, Lisa's just, this one's just come back. I'm just going to do a little experiment. Hold on. Lisa, can you come in here a sec? We're just ending the podcast. We're just bringing the podcast in. I just want to let you know, I love you so much.
Hi, Lisa.
I just want to let you know, I love you so much. You mean the world to me.
Why are you doing this?
I'm not doing...
Why are you doing that?
I'm just telling you I love you.
Oh, right. Bye, Tom.
See you later, Lisa.
See you, guys. It really can be magical. All you've got to do is reach out. It's so embarrassing when she said, why are you doing that? Anyway.
Well, you know what? James Torrance, play us out with the Jackson 5. I'll be there.
Oh, God.
If you have a problem, opinion, feedback, or anything at all, please email us at wolfowlpod@gmail.com. That's wolfowlpod@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you, mainly because we don't have any content ideas. Thank you.